I don't know that I've taken one message to do a thematic study on something that the Bible says, and let's just see what the text of Scripture says. This will be more of a Bible lesson than it will a sermon. I wondered as I prayed through the conclusion of the Thanksgiving offering emphasis and giving thanks to God for an entire season, I knew that we would be coming upon the Christmas season, and I will need to get into that very soon. And I want to go back to Corinthians and finish that study. And I just said, Lord, I recognize anything that you would have me do beats anything else I could do. And I couldn't get my heart unhitched from this particular time in our lives as we are distracted with so much. That one of the things that can happen to us as the people of God is that we live in the midst of a sea of people, and if we aren't careful, we will be lost in that sea and have less contact and less true relationship and fellowship than maybe at other times in our life, and it should not be that way. Our relationship not only with God but one another should be a growing relationship. This morning, I want you to join me as we give thought to considering one another. I'm going to have you turn to one verse of Scripture, but I'm going to give you others on the screen that you will not turn to. So would you go with me to the book of Hebrews and the 10th chapter? And I want you to look at one verse of Scripture, and that verse is verse 24. We think around the theme, consider one another. Now, let me just, while you're turning to Hebrews 10, let me ask you a question. Have you even considered recently, have you given thought recently to how much consideration we give to each other in the body of Christ? You know, you and I say that we are going to spend eternity together in heaven, and I sure hope we do. I'm planning on going. I hope you're planning on going. And we'll all be going it that go by grace. But before we get to heaven, we need to be learning how to interact with each other here and what we're to do for each other here. And the individual local church ought to be just a little microcosm, a little smaller setting of the elements of what it would be like to be in a perfect environment caring for each other. And God saw that so valid that he's put something in his book for us to consider, and I want our launching verse to be the 24th verse of the 10th chapter of the book of Hebrews. If you're there and now ready, would you say amen? Amen. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. The writer of Hebrews said to saved Hebrew people, save Jewish people, let us consider one another. And it was that phrase I could not get my heart unhitched from. Let us consider one another. And the word consider is a word that means we should observe each other, give attention to each other, and bestow thought on one another. And the reason we want to observe and the reason we want to give attention and the reason we want to bestow thought, according to the 24th verse, is that we want to provoke. That doesn't mean make mad. It means to incite or encourage each other unto love, agape, the special kind of love that is found in God and that can only be expressed from the heart of one of his children because he lives there. I want your consideration to each other to be so you can encourage each other in love and, notice verse 24, and good works. We need that encouragement. There is a lot that can happen to us that diminishes our emphasis of loving God as we should love God and loving each other as we should love each other. And there's a lot that can happen in life that can diminish and distract us from good works that we're to have as the people of God. When Paul wrote to Titus, he talked about that we are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people who are to be zealous of good works. We are to be good works zealots and be filled with zeal regarding what God has gifted us to do and what God permits us to do with what He has gifted us as a part of being placed into His family. Now, with that said, let us consider one another in the following ways so that as we listen to the Scriptures, we will be able to take these means that I'm about to share and let these be the means through which we encourage each other to love God more, to love each other more, and to be zealous of the work that we can be a part of as God has placed us in His vineyard to be His laborers for the glory of His name, to advance His kingdom, even teaching us in the model prayer to pray that His kingdom would come and that His will would be done on earth just like it is in heaven. Now, if it's going to be done, then it's our place to pray as Christ taught us to pray. It's our place to be involved with it, and we want God's business, which we believe to be the greatest business on the planet, to certainly come to fruition. There's no such thing as a child of God that doesn't have a gift. There's no such thing as a saved person that doesn't have a place of service. Now, you may not hold a title, but you certainly have a place of service in the body of Christ. And you're never as happy as you will be until you use the gifts and abilities that God has given you to build up the body, to glorify Christ's name, to advance His kingdom on this earth. Now, number one, noticing with me to the screen, there is a scripture there of John 13:14. Jesus said, "If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet." It's the ought to that we find that's present. And He said, I want you to wash one another's feet. Now, was He teaching that we literally are to wash each other's feet? He's teaching us in that passage that we are to do what the need is to help each other in the body of Christ. In other words, He's calling on us to serve one another. Jesus said, I didn't come to be served, but I came to serve and to give my life a ransom for many. You will be your happiest when you are serving. So let us consider how, whether or not and how well we are serving each other. Number two. On your screen, you'll find John 16:17. These things I command you that ye love one another. This is the one another's of the Scripture. And Jesus commands us in John 16 to love one another. Love there is a verb. It means to do something for one another. Now, why is that so important? It seems so elemental. It almost seems trite. But it's not tried at all for this reason. In life, people are either givers or takers. There are people who will let you serve them and never think of serving others in return. I've noticed even among the family of God. Are you with me now? Are we awake from Thanksgiving dinner? I have noticed that people will want you to come to the funeral home and the church when their loved ones die, but sometimes they're not very good to go when others have loved ones die. I have noticed that there would be many who would want someone to attend their baby shower, but they're not very prone to attend other baby showers. Now, I mean this with kindness. You know what you are? You're a taker. You don't think that other people are as desirous to be treated when it's their turn as you were to be treated when it was your turn. You're a taker is what you are, not a giver. Well, I don't feel like it, and neither do the rest of us. We've all got stuff that we could do, but we make time for one another because we love each other. Now, we just thought it was quiet a while ago. Did I step on a nerve somewhere? I mean, boy, when my son or daughter gets married, I want you coming to the wedding. But when your son or daughter or grandson or granddaughter gets married, I'm not going to that wedding. Really? Well, you little arrogant outfit, you. Do you understand that the only thing that makes any of us do that is love? That's why we do it, just because we love. And folks, if that's you, and you're not doing something for somebody, you don't have to give a person $1,000 to do something for them. I had somebody come by the church years ago, and I don't mean this. This is not a hint. I don't have any problem dropping hints if I want to drop one, okay? Somebody came by the church. I'll tell you when they did it. Clifford Palmer had been here in 1987. Now you do the math. And he had one message that he did not want taped, and he would not let Beth and me stay, and we had to go home. I still don't know what all he said. But I had folks wanting to do stuff for me. And one of the families came by, happened to be the wife of the family, said, "Pastor, you're going to be here at the office for a little while, dropped in unannounced, and that's okay. If I'm here, I'm happy if you'd do that." I said, "Yes, I can. I'm going to be here a while." "Well, I'd like the keys to your car." I said, "Really?" And she grinned and I grinned. I said, "Do I need to ask for your driver's license? What's going on?" She said, "No. My husband and I have been talking and praying, and Brother Palmer said something about helping people, and we want to just take your car and have it washed." Now, I don't know where you come from, what that means to you. You know what I call that? Love. When's the last time you tried to go get somebody's car and not the preacher's? Folks, let me tell you something. We're in trouble. Because we have come to be, without intending to be, did you hear that phrase? Without intending to be, we've become the most superficial bunch of folks on the planet. And it's no wonder to me that non-church folks don't want to have much to do with us. We've got to where we don't know how to reach out to each other. And even our Lord said, "You be careful how you even treat a stranger, because thereby many have entertained angels unaware." And if it's important how we treat strangers, we need to be careful how we treat each other. Number three, in Romans 12:10, be kindly affection one to another. Now, to be kindly affection means like brothers. Be like brothers to one another. And so if you're going to be kindly affection, he's saying be kind to each other. Kindness is an oil that lubricates a lot of machinery. Kindness. Can I tell you that some of the most harsh words spoken are not spoken among enemies, but are spoken among family members? Sometimes husbands and wives, we talk sharp to each other. We don't have patience with one another. We teach our little children in Sunday school, be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. I think we all believe that, don't we? Amen. Well, folks, if that's good for me to do that to you, I ought to start doing that with Beth. And if that's a pretty good thing for you to treat Brother Wayne that way, how about treat your folks at home that way? And so, be kind to each other. Number four. In Romans 12:10, the latter part of that verse, after he said, be kindly affection one to another, he said, with brotherly love and honor means to value, preferring one another. Preferring means to lead the way for one another. And if you're going to give value to somebody and you're going to lead the way for one another, then here's the point. Be respectful to each other. Are you respectful to one another? You men know that there's probably not a quality that means more to you than to be respected and respected by your wife. But you know, in order to be respected, we must show ourselves respectful. And sometimes men, now I'm not talking about friends who love to jab and have a good time with each other. I'm not talking about the right kind of humor. I'm talking about sometimes in sarcasm that can be deep and cutting. We ought not do that. We ought to be respectful of one another. In Romans 14:13, the next one, the scripture says, let us not therefore judge one another anymore, But judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. Well, if you're not going to judge one another, but you're going to be careful that you don't put a stumbling block, then we need to exercise some care for each other. I tell you something I stay on pins and needles about. I love good-natured teasing, and I like to tease, and like anybody else, I do tease people I love, but I do that with great caution, because what one person takes well as a tease, it hurts the feelings of somebody else, and you really have to know what you're doing when you do it. We got to remember to exercise care with each other. Don't do anything that you think could cause them to stumble. You know, Jesus said, as he talked about children, he said, anybody that would cause one of these to stumble, well, it'd be better that a millstone was tied around his neck. I know you've seen a millstone or a picture of one. It'd be like taking a huge chunk of concrete and tying around your neck and throwing you into the deepest sea. Wouldn't be good. So exercise care with each other. Now, you can give a public yes if you agree with this, okay? Are you ready? If you agree with it. I like to be treated nice. Yes. Well, you know what I found out? Others do too. And if I like to be treated nice, then I ought to treat them nice. Now, some people, as you know, are really messed up between the ears. And I'm not being unkind or unnice to say that. Listen carefully. You know, there are a few people who do what they call suicide by cop. You know what that is? It's when they go out and deliberately do something wanting a policeman to kill them. And sometimes policemen kill them. And other times policemen hit them in a way that it disables them, but it doesn't kill them. You have some people, what am I mentioning that for? Because some people are so messed up, they can't deal with kindness, and they're going to do something to you. So you'll be unkind to them, so they're trying to buy and pay for it, so you got to be very careful. But if a person has any emotional balance, and I know that's a mighty big if, and seems like more people, and I don't mean this unkind, more people kind of off their rocker now than we've seen in some times, and I think it has a lot to do, they're burning their brains up on drugs. Folks, if you burn your brain up on drugs, you're not as stable emotionally, and the only way you ever become stable is by the mercy of God to reestablish what you've destroyed. And let me say this to you. I don't know how often God does that, but let's go on record with something. God can restore what the locust has eaten. He really can. He can do that. So let's exercise care with each other. Now, look at the next one, Romans 15:14. And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. Now, admonish one another, admonish means to reprove gently one another. We are called to reprove or to admonish, and to admonish means I should say something of a corrective nature, but the word means I should reprove gently. So the principle is this: correct one another graciously. Don't correct people like you've never made a mistake yourself. I'm kind of amazed at times, and I may have been guilty of that myself. We sometimes correct people as though, you idiot, you. I've never messed up at anything like that in my life. I'd like to know what's wrong with you. Sometimes God's people that discuss theology act like the point that they're trying to make, that they've always held that. And the truth of it was, they didn't hold that position 5 years ago. But they don't have mercy towards somebody that holds a position that they don't agree with now. Folks, we need to correct each other very graciously. Do it kindly. Do it like, well, I had somebody say to me, thought he was being funny, he said, you know what? You would have been a wonderful heathen. And, of course, he laughed when he said it, and I said, well, and I was trying to do a little correction and a little teaching, and I smiled and kind of laughed with him. I said, well, I kind of think that's what we all were when the Lord found us. So, see, that was to me a correction, but it wasn't anything that should be offensive. So let's correct one another graciously. Next one, Galatians 5:13. For, brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve, that means promote, one another. Now, what's the principle there? If by love we're going to serve one another. In order to serve somebody, what must we do? We must be subservient. I am here to meet your needs. If we have guests to our home like you do, and a person says, maybe you're eating something at the table, pardon me, but do you have a salt shaker? Yeah, get up and get yourself. You don't do that. You know, I've dropped my napkin. Can I get another napkin? Yeah, get it over in the drawer, get it yourself. You don't do that. You become subservient. Why? Jesus said the highest calling we have is to serve another. Not to sit on a throne, but to serve another. So be subservient to each other. Folks, it doesn't make you less. It makes you really greater in the eyes of God. Galatians 5:15. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. To be consumed means to be used up. Now, what does he mean? If you bite and consume or bite and devour one another, take heed that you don't use up each other. He's saying, don't add difficulty to one another. There's people going through all kinds of stuff. Families that are turning on their heads over issues. It'd just be a good time to repeat this because there's probably a week doesn't go by, somebody doesn't call me or see me or tell me, we've got this son, we've got this daughter, we've got this, we've got that. And many times it'll go down this way. We've got a daughter that just said she's a lesbian, or we got a son just said he's a homosexual. Folks, your pastor has told you, hadn't told you lately, but I've told you 50 times, I suppose, in 33 years, if you have a child that, quote, unquote, comes out of the closet, here's what you need to do. Two things. Number one, love your kid. And number two, don't come walking back up here and say, well, I think now it's all right. No, it never will be all right. But it is all right to love your kid. You understand that there's the two are compatible? You don't have to approve of what they've done. I've had close friends who were adulterers. I don't approve of that. But I don't have to say I'd like to take you out here somewhere and see if I can get some people to help me stone you. I don't want to add difficulty. And when I've walked with some people as a pastor through the self-inflicted hurt of moral decay, if you could walk through some of that and hurt through it, you'd think, my soul, I don't want to add anything because they wasn't thinking about what all they was losing when they did what they did. So I wouldn't want to advertise that or to do something to hurt with that. And anybody that does is sicker than the person who's immoral. Did you hear that old Sally or old Sam, did you hear what they did? That they committed adultery. Yet Jesus found one of them. You ready with your stones? Come on over here. Now, I want you. Are y'all ready to with your stones? Come on. It's time. But I won't tell you how we're going to do this. I want the one that's without any sin. I want you to cast the first stone. And the Bible says that they began to drop their stones. I like to say it in a South Georgia way. They dropped their rocks like hot potatoes and began to walk away. And the scripture indicates they walked away starting with the oldest. Wonder why the oldest. I don't know for sure, but I tell you what I think that is. They didn't seen that a whole bunch. They had sense enough to know, hey, this ain't something we want to talk about. It ain't something we want to advertise. But there's too much of this, and I may not be guilty of that, but I've been guilty of something just as bad in the eyes of God. So we don't want to add difficulty. Now, do we want the person to find forgiveness? Yep. Do we understand it's going to take longer to be restored to wherever their walk was than it is? Folks, it just takes a prayer to be restored to right fellowship. But it takes a little more than a prayer to get restored back into your walk with Christ. But we don't want to add difficulty to that. And he said, if you bite and devour one another, you take heed that you don't just use up each other. I can't imagine how that woman that day caught in the act of adultery felt. She's being made a public spectacle. That's the last thing she needed. So don't add difficulty to one another. On your screen is Galatians 5:26. The first part of the verse says, "Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another." Provoking means to irritate one another. So the principle is this: just be nice to one another. Be nice. How many times did a mother say to her child, "Be nice"? Wonder how many times a wife has said to a husband, "Be nice." Just be nice. Folks, you don't have to have a college degree to figure out what it means to be nice. Be nice. The latter part of verse 26 says, "Not envying one another." Envy is to be jealous of. Don't be jealous of one another. Now, what's the principle there? You may be surprised at this. The principle is be generous to one another. You say, what's that got to do with jealousy? Because the last person you want to be generous to is the one you're jealous of. Go give them something. You're trying to get that lid in your pipe, aren't you? It's got real quiet again. When you're jealous, you don't want you resent what they have. You envy them. So go give them something. We laughed on the revival team one year. Papa Sam preached a message on do good to those that despitefully use you, and without us planning to, everybody on the team that week gave him something personal. He said, Are y'all trying to get a message across to me? He said, I preached on doing good to those that despitefully use you, and y'all everybody's giving me something this week. What's going on here? Galatians 6:2 says, bear ye one another's burdens. To bear means to take it up. You pick it up. And so fulfill the law of Christ. So the principles help carry the hurts of other people. Do you carry the hurts of another person, or do you just say, they're getting their just desserts. They bought and paid for that. You'll see that it's just a tad different when it's your turn to walk through it. I'm about through. Stay with me. Colossians 3:13 says, notice it on your screen, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. When he says forbear with each other, you'll be amazed what that means in the Greek language. It means put up with it. Boy, that's the last thing I wanted to hear. Is it you too? Put up with one another. And forgive means pardon and grant to them something they don't deserve. Every time God forgave you, you didn't deserve it. God has never granted you and me forgiveness. And, well, thank you, Lord, I really deserve that. No, we never have deserved that. So if any man has a quarrel, that is a complaint against any, even just like Christ forgave you, so also do ye. So when Christ forgives us, we call that grace, don't we? Is that right? Well, exercise grace to one another. I have a hard time forgiving him for that. I understand that. But won't you give him what Christ gave you, something he doesn't deserve and something you don't deserve? Just forgive him. Colossians 3:16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching, that means instructing, and admonishing, that means reminding one another, in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. He's saying here, strengthen one another with what's true. Strengthen each other with what's true. Truth, folks, is what sets captives free. Truth builds weight into your soul. There's one final one and I'm through. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, wherefore comfort yourselves together Comfort means exhort. And edify one another. Edify means build up one another. So he's saying here, if you're going to consider one another, think about building up people. You know, there's a saying, I don't know how much of it's true anymore. Papa Sam said it to me when I started to pastor. I've had a lot of men in secular work make this statement. Stay with me. You know, when I got a job there, I was grateful, and I wanted to leave that place in better condition than I found it. Papa Sam said, "Now, Wayne, try to pastor your churches. Make you." I remember he told me when I went to the first one, he said, "Wayne, you're probably not going to spend your life here. I don't know what God's going to do. Make all your decisions, though, as though you're going to be here the rest of your life." Because he said there'll be some fruit born of that. And if you'll make that that decision based on, I'm going to have to bear what comes from this, you'll make right decisions. Or if you don't make a right decision, it won't be through any ill will on your part. You're just trying to. So he said, pastor your churches so you'll try to leave it better than when you came. Folks, if we build up each other, we ought to want to leave folks when we walk away from them more encouraged than when we got there. That doesn't mean they're discouraged, but leave them with something positive. If they're a little bit down, have the right kind of humor with them. If they're carrying a burden, pray with them. Build up each other. Folks, look here. In this life, there is so much pulling us downward. We can be the people that pull others up. If we, Hebrews 10, will truly consider one another. Father in heaven, help us to be the type of people that not only treat one another like family, for we are family, but let us treat each other like family that really loves one another. Lord, we've all had them, and even maybe our own extended families, fusses and falling outs and fights. But Lord, we are saying we're the people of God. So help us to really love one another, consider one another, and do our best to build up one another. You have said to us that it's our responsibility to do that. So Lord, help me to be a better pastor. Help me to know how to care for those I come in contact with. And help this people to be made stronger, not because of their pastor, but because of the strength of your eternal, powerful, precious word in their hearts. Grace us today, O God, to be a more considerate people of one another. We pray in the name of Jesus our Lord. Amen. We're entering into a time when people can respond to an